So today we hear a vision from heaven, a vision from John's revelation. And it's a wonderful vision. And it's the end of the story, though, a story that starts two chapters earlier in chapter 5. So in order to really understand what's going on in chapter 7, we have to go back a little bit earlier and meet some of our famous friends. We'll get there in a little bit, though. It's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call. Revelation is meant to be an unveiling. That's what revelation actually means. That's what the word apocalypse actually means. It means to lift a veil, not only into a vision of heaven, but also the veil on our eyes, to show us the urgency of the situation, to shake us from complacency and move us into action. And you guys you know this story. You've seen visions like this before. Do you guys recognize these ghosts? The ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future from Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. And what happens with Ebenezer Scrooge? He sees a vision of these angels, and he's shaken from his past behavior. He turns from being a miserly, greedy, angry old man to being a generous and loving one. And that's the same idea behind the visions that we're about to see. So it starts off in the throne room of God, and there's a scroll with seven seals upon it. This is in chapter 5. And the scroll can't be opened. It can't be opened except by the Lamb who is on the throne. And you see the Lamb there at the center. And the Lamb is surrounded by the entire cosmos. All the sea creatures, all the land creatures, all the people of the world are bowing down to worship the Lamb because he deserves it. The one who saves us, because to him belongs salvation. And they say, who can open the seals on the scroll? There's only one, the Lamb. But then we get to the opening of the seals. And we meet the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Now, these four horsemen are not new. They come from the Old Testament. It's a prophecy that had already been made earlier. The prophet Zechariah said, chapter 1, during the night I had a vision, and there before me was a man mounted on a red horse, and he was standing among the myrtle trees in a ravine, and behind him were red, brown, and white horses. So John picks up on this earlier prophecy, this earlier image of horses bringing in an image to shake us, to remind us where we stand in this world. So we go to the first horse, the white war horse, and this is what it says, chapter 6, verse 2. I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. And so we're reminded today of the conquests, the armies that are bringing calamity in our world, in Syria, Ukraine. Even in Colombia, we don't even think about it. But there's a war going on in Colombia right now between the FARC rebels and the government in charge there. And even though we might think it's far away, we are reminded again and again when our men and women come home in caskets that the war horse, the white war horse, has its impact even on us here. The blood red horse is next. Verse 3, when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature call out, come, and out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth so that the people would slaughter one another, and he was given a great sword. Just this week, there was another school shooting. But that's not so distant from our hearts here in Grand Rapids. 2011, we were given this image after a gunman killed seven people, injuring two others, killed himself. 2011, July 7th, 2011. And that's just one example of the violence that grips our society. Next, the black horse of hunger. This is what it says, verse 5. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature call out, "Come." And I looked, and there was a black horse. Its rider held a pair of scales in his hand, and I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's pay, and three quarts of barley for a day's pay, but do not damage the olive oil and the wine." What is this saying? This is saying something to the effect of like a loaf of bread for $60, a quart of barley for a day's pay. But don't damage the wine. Don't damage the olive oil. The luxury goods need to be protected while the hungry get even less and less and less for their hard day's labor. Many of you have experienced that and know what it's like when the black horse rides. See that scales he's holding? You could think of that like a credit card machine. The scales are the sign of economic disparity. The scales are the measurement of how much you're worth. And we deal with that today. Here's a man that many of you may have seen, Jim Wolfe, a United States Army veteran. He was in a viral video that went around. Degage here, our partner in ministry, put it out recently, in the last year. And they gave him a makeover. They cut his hair. They trimmed his beard. They treated him really nice. They put him in a suit to remind us that there are people like this, like Jim, homeless people in our midst who are people. They're real people, people who God loves, people who are here, but yet it seems like their whole income, they don't have enough. They're forgotten. They're left out. The black horse is trotting on their faces, it seems. And finally, we get to the horse of death, the last horse. Verse 7. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature call out, "Come." And looked, and there was a pale green horse. Its rider's name was Death. And Hades followed him, and they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, famine, and pestilence by the wild animals of the earth. This horse rides right into our sanctuary today. Here's his corral. So the question is, when the four horses of the apocalypse ride, where do you stand? Will you put your security in conquering nations and armies? You put your security in the fact that you live in a good neighborhood where there's no violence? Will you put your security in the fact that you have a good job or good education so you can count on that? Will you put your security in your own health? When the four horsemen ride, where is your security? Where is your trust? And we get to the fifth seal. The fifth seal. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those. Right here, these guys, under the altar. See them? Under there? This is an old painting. I saw the souls of those who had been slaughtered for the word of God and for the testimony they had given. They cried out with a loud voice, "Sovereign, holy, and true, how long will it be before you judge and avenge our blood on the inhabitants of the earth?" And they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer, until the number would be complete, both of their fellow servants and of their brothers and sisters, who were soon to be killed as they themselves had been killed. This is a hopeful message. It's good to know. The Christians, our brothers and sisters, are there under the throne of God being protected, robed in white, watched over by the Lamb. But at the same time, what does it say there at the last part? Until the number would be complete, both of their fellow servants and of their brothers and sisters who were soon to be killed. That's us. We're their brothers and sisters. We're their fellow servants. The persecution that slaughtered those people still exists in the world today, in Nigeria, in Pakistan, in Egypt, even in America. The persecution hasn't ended. So we get to the sixth seal. And this is what it says. Verse 12. When he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and there came a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth. The full moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as the fig tree, or in our case, the apple tree, drops its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. The sky vanished like a scroll rolling itself up. And every mountain and island was removed from its place. And now I want you to pay attention. Pay attention to this part. Because this is the people that got it all together. These are the people that we're taught to look up to. See what they do now when they're faced with God face to face. Then the kings of the earth and the magnates and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us. Hide us from the face of the one seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come. And who is able to stand?" The rich and the powerful and the magnates and the governors would rather hide in the rocks than face God. So we have a comparison of the fifth seal and the sixth seal. Do we stand for our faith and risk persecution, or do we stand with the governors and the magnates and the powerful and the rich? There's a promise and a threat set before us. Would you rather be there or there? Who can stand? Who can stand? Who can stand when the four horsemen of the apocalypse ride? Who can stand when we're faced with these calamities in the world? Who can stand? So they call a timeout in heaven. They say, "Timeout. We got to recoup here. Something's going on. We got to take a timeout." They tell the angels to hold back the calamity. Hold back the calamity because there's something that needs to happen first. There's something that needs to happen first before this calamity befalls. It says, "Do no harm to the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God." A seal of the Holy Spirit, a sign of where you belong and to whom you belong, a seal, a protection on you, the servants of God. And so John looks out. He looks out and he's looking. This is in chapter 7. He's looking and he hears a group of people, the perfect group of people, the people who God has called, the people who God has sealed. It's the perfect number, 144,000. 12 tribes of Israel, the people of God are the 12 tribes of Israel. 12 times 12 is 144. So we have 144,000 of the people of God, the perfect number. He hears about them. But then he opens his eyes, and who does he see? What does the perfect number of God's people look like? And then we hear the text for today. "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb, and they were wearing robes of white and holding palm branches for victory in their hands." The redeemed. That's the answer. Who can stand? The redeemed can stand. Those sealed by the Holy Spirit. Those who have been gathered together by the Lamb, who are there before the throne of God. So you, my brothers and sisters, and all the saints who have gone before us, wait until we all can be gathered there, together around the throne, when it seems as though we want to put our trust in security or money or even our health. The vision from the Four Horsemen reminds us that our only security, our only life, our only salvation is found in Jesus, our Savior. And we can trust and rest in Him. And so we sing with all the saints and all the angels and all the living creatures the same hymn that we sung a little bit earlier. This. Amen. Amen.